Time for a deep dive into the one issue that matters most in a capitalist democracy: money. This is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of the Maggie Dawn Show and the Patriotic Millionaires. Now, here's Maggie Dawn.
What is up, Wisconsin and beyond? I'm Maggie Dawn, and as it is 3 o'clock, it is time for Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of the Patriotic Millionaires and the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm really excited today to be joined by a woman I would call probably the preeminent expert in this area. Her name is Ai-Jen Poo. She has been a labor leader, an award-winning organizer, a leading voice in the women's movement, and she is the current president of the National Domestic Workers Alliance and the executive director of Caring Across Generations and a trustee of the Ford Foundation. She is, again, I think one of the preeminent experts on the care economy, which obviously is very close to women's issues. And she is the author of the celebrated book, The Age of Dignity, Preparing for the Elder Boom in a Changing America. We've been talking this week about these big policy reforms that we need to fix our economy. And we need to focus in today on this care economy, because women, frankly, have been doing unpaid work for far, far too long. And even where we're compensated, where people who work in the care economy are compensated, it is often at absolutely ridiculously low wages. And this is something that every single one of us will need at some point in our lives, whether for our children, our parents as they age, or ourselves as we age. Everybody's living longer, and many of us need some help as we enter into those golden years. So again, here to talk about both the present and future and the past of the care economy, our guest today is Ai-Jen Poo. Welcome, Ai-Jen. Thank you so much for making time. It's really a privilege to talk with you.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to talk to you. And I'm a huge Wisconsin fan, so this is excellent. Yes.
Go Badgers. I love it.
Yes.
And go swing states. Right? that too. Tell us what is the care economy, in case I oversimplified things, and tell us about the state of care in the U.S. How's it going? Who's doing this work?
Ooh, such big questions. Okay, yeah. So when we say care economy, we are talking about all of the relationships and work and energy that goes into making sure that children, older adults, people with disabilities, the people that we love have the supports that they need to live with dignity. And for children to be able to have the care and the nurturing and the attention that they need at a crucial time in their lives, 0 to 5, to be able to realize their full potential in the world. So we're talking about childcare and early education. We are talking about senior care, disability care, in all kinds of settings. There's center-based, nursing homes, home-based. There's all kinds of settings, but it's all care. And it's all about making sure that our families across generations have the supports that they need in order to live and have a quality of life. And it is especially impacts people, adult age working people, because care is also the work that makes all other work possible. Yes. I think Senator Casey from Pennsylvania said a couple of years ago, he said, you know, some people need a bridge or a tunnel to get to work, and other people need childcare. Other people need home care. And it is such a kind of, it's a foundation of our economy that we have never really talked about in that way. Until I think the pandemic started to change that, when the pandemic brought the care crisis to everyone's doorstep, and suddenly we were all like trying to figure out Zoom, and our kids were crawling on us, and our parents were on lockdown in nursing homes or thousands of miles away, and we had no idea when we were going to see them again. And all of a sudden we were like, oh, wow, this is really hard. And we actually can't do it alone. And so when we talk about the care economy, we're also talking about how do we invest in the systems, policies, and programs that make it possible for us to care for the people that we love, especially while we're working.
So critical. You, in your introduction, you talked about, again, care for children, older adults, and those with disabilities so that we can all live with some dignity.
That's right.
This basic idea that each human being deserves dignity. And then the secondary bridging idea for those that tend to be very focused on economic growth and all of those things, none of that happens unless and until we figure out how to operate the care economy in a more just and equitable way to bring about greater dignity. That growth depends on the care economy. Thank you for making that so very clear. How many people are we talking about here?
Oh, so we have new data from RAND Corporation that just came out last week. 105.6 million Americans today are caregivers.
Wow.
Not history, but like right now. That is like a third of the country.
I was going to say that's a third of our population, one out of every three people.
It's a Holy massive God. Amount of people who are in the care economy. And the truth is, every single one of us in this country is touched by the care economy. Each of us, and the former First Lady Rosalynn Carter once said, there's only four kinds of people in the world: people who are caregivers or will be, people who need care or will need care. Like literally, this is a topic, even if we aren't currently caregivers, which 105.6 million of us are, this is an issue that's going to touch every single one of us at some point. And then the other piece that you mentioned earlier, which is so important, is there are actually professionals whose full-time job it is to work in the care economy, who get up every day and take care of our kids, who get up every day and make sure that our loved ones with disabilities are able to live full lives in the community, or to make sure that our aging parents actually have some autonomy and sense of, you know, ability to have choices and agency and quality of life and as they age. That work is so profoundly undervalued in our economy. Yeah. If I were to tell you that the median income of a home care worker in the United States of America is $22,000 per year, literally, you can make more working in fast food in most states than you can working in the care economy. And no shade on fast food, like that is really important, dignified work also, but it just gives you a sense of how we have so deeply undervalued and just not supported this essential workforce, which, by the way, we're going to need for a pretty long time, because ChatGPT, no matter what you tell it, is not going to be able to take care of your parent, right? And you can't outsource this work.
You can't automate it. I mean, it's not AI. You can't outsource it. It requires human beings. Let's dig in. I mean, $22,000 a year, the average take-home pay of someone that works in the home care industry, when we know that the average median income that is required for a single adult with no children is around $40,000.
Right.
It is barely half that.
Right.
We know that working families, whether we're talking about elder care, child care, care for persons with disabilities, it is so expensive for mm-hmm. middle-class families. First of all, why is it so expensive? And if it's so expensive, why are the people that provide this work paid so very little?
It's such a great question. And I get asked it a lot because it really doesn't add up. Like the math isn't mathing.
Unintended and literally, right?
And literally, exactly. So there are fixed costs associated with operating a safe and quality childcare center, for example. And right now, our funding for childcare is this like patchwork of state and federal funding pots that is always under-resourced. And so these centers are trying to piece it together in order to stay operating. And if you can't piece it together with this patchwork of inconsistent funding from these different pots, then you're passing the expenses along to parents. Mm-hmm. And you're taking wages from workers. Like, yeah, you really don't have a lot of options. And the thing about this is that care is a challenge or a problem that the market can't solve. I am a believer, if the market can solve a problem, it absolutely should. But we have kind of left it to the market to address our collective need for care in this country in a way that no other G7 country in the world has ever done. We spend so little on care. Literally, like, we spend about $500 on average per child per year for care.
Which is literally ridiculous.
And I mean, other G7 countries, it's like 14,000, 15,000. Yes. And even they are saying that that's not sufficient, because care is such a fundamental shared need and priority of any society. And so the fact that we have so under-resourced collectively this huge part of infrastructure that we need and left it up to individual centers, individual parents, and individual workers to shoulder the cost, it's completely unsustainable. And that's where we are.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find more at civicmedia.us.
Hello, folks. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're in the 3 o'clock half hour block. And so it's Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, joined today by Ai-Jen Poo. She is the president of the National Domestic Workers Alliance, executive director of Caring Across Generations, and a trustee of the Ford Foundation, an expert on the care economy. Wow. 10,000 people turn 65 every day. And 10,000 babies are born every day. And we know that the number of adults over the age of 85 is expected to more than double by 2040. I spent some time living in Denmark. It isn't like this there. Okay. And people can say whatever they want to say about Denmark and other G7 countries, but they have paid family and medical leave, right? And they make enormous investments in the care economy because it is acknowledged as a baseline need for everybody.
Right.
It seems to me we've created a system, this patchwork of funding sources, as well as the tax code, and that's what I want to ask you about next, that simply has devalued this. And it's having really disastrous effects on working families. Wealthy families, of course, they can manage this, but it's frankly middle class and working people, including folks that might consider themselves on the high end of middle class. I mean, it can empty bank accounts and really put incredible stress on families. How is the tax code affecting the care economy?
I do want to underscore what you just said, which is that it's creating enormous pressure. I mean, care is such a universal need. Yeah. And yet the only people who can really afford care in the United States of America are the uber wealthy, really rich people. You have to be rich, essentially, to be able to afford the care that you need for your families. Meanwhile, we all have families. So what are we supposed to do?
Yeah.
And that is exactly why the tax code exists, for the things that our society as a whole needs. We all contribute. We are all supposed to pay our fair share. But unfortunately, the way things have played out, the reality is that poor and working class and middle class families, like the people that I represent in the care workforce, end up paying way more than their fair share. And the wealthiest among us, the billionaires, the millionaires, and the corporations, are not paying their fair share at all. And what that means is that this resource that is supposed to exist for our society as a whole is not being invested in adequately. And the way it's being invested in is completely unfair.
Yeah.
But again, the overwhelming burden is on lower income and middle income people. And we already are holding it all.
Yes.
We're like paying out of pocket too much, and we're paying in the tax code too much, and the rich are not paying at all.
Yeah, I've heard
the problem.
I've heard people use the imagery of like an incredibly heavy backpack, right? That's strapped onto someone. And when you have to provide care, it's like a next ton of bricks, more weights being added to that. It can break individuals. It's incredibly stressful. And the comparative image for the ultra wealthy is not just that the backpack is lighter. It's that the person carrying the backpack is enormous, a giant size, and it's not even a backpack. They don't even feel it. And again, if you care about childcare, then you care about tax policy. If you care about elder care, you have to care about tax policy. If each and every one of us was forced to pay to defend our own homes, right, for our own police force, if we were forced to pay to defend and individually defend our neighborhoods, we would never be able to afford that. Our taxes go to pay that. This is not unlike that. All of us need this to work better, and it's just not done this way in other developed Western countries. I wanted to ask you this question because, again, one of the candidates for vice president seemed to suggest that, like, well, the workable solution is just ask your in-laws to provide free childcare. And underlying it seemed to be this assumption that we can't both make it affordable and pay people a fair wage. And so people just need to like fill the gaps however they can, which again, tends to privilege the very wealthy. And even our Family Medical Leave Act, that's unpaid leave, which only works for workers that can afford to take medical leave for no pay. Is this idea that we can't both pay people fairly and have affordable care, are those actually incompatible?
No, it's a completely false choice. And the idea that we could, first of all, grandparents are going to be caring for us no matter what, because care in America is an all hands on deck situation. Yeah. Maggie, you laid it out. We've got 10,000 babies born, 10,000 people turning 65. We're living longer than ever before. We are a country that needs just a lot of care right now. So even with a strong infrastructure in place where we have a strong workforce, we have supported family caregivers, we're still going to need the grandparents. Yeah. We're going to need immigrants, non-immigrants. We're going to need everybody. And that is how it's supposed to be, because it's not an either or. It's not either a personal responsibility or a societal responsibility. Actually, care is one of the most profound responsibilities and roles that we have in our lives. That's not going to change. What needs to change is our societal commitment to supporting it, right? Yeah. And that has not happened. And the only way that happens is through the tax code. You raise the revenue to be able to invest in building new systems.
Very briefly, Jen, I'm sorry, we've got to put a pin in it, but I want to ask you this. What should people do if they're listening to help build a better care infrastructure?
Make a plan to vote and vote for champions who are going to raise revenue and invest in care.
Thanks so much. That's Jen Poo, the president of the National Domestic Workers Alliance. I'm Maggie Dawn.
Thanks for listening to Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of Civic Media and the Patriotic Millionaires. For more information, go to patrioticmillionaires.org and be sure to tell your friends. The Patriotic Millionaires buy advertising across a number of Civic Media stations.